Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Christmas day is the gospel lesson that you just heard from John, the first chapter. Some years ago, at a Christmas Eve service, things were perfect. The congregation was celebrating Christmas in their new sanctuary for the first time. Church was beautiful. A large stand behind the altar had been designed to hold numerous poinsettias, and they were gorgeous. A young boy had flawlessly sung the first stanza of Once in Royal David's City. The vocal and instrumental musicians were really on. Their tone and energy and volume were sensitive, beautiful. The liturgy was engaging so that those who had not been to church for a long time and those who had been often were drawn together and blended with the worshipers of the Christ child through the ages. The burning candles cast a luminous glow on the walls and the faces of the worshipers. The preacher was focused, catching the attention of the eagerly attentive and the easily bored. In the congregation were children snuggled up close to their parents, feeling secure and safe and loved. Dating couples hopeful that their new interest would turn out to be someone special. Engaged couples planning their wedding and their future. Married couples who had endured the struggles of their relationship and were feeling confident and secure. Older parents, some singled by the death of their spouses, accompanied by their adult children, feeling grateful. Many across demographic lines who felt good about the gifts that they had received and the gifts they had given. For many, it seemed a perfect Christmas. Then, as the liturgy for Holy Communion began, the platform for the poinsettias began to lean. And with a resounding crash, they fell. Clay pots burst with a loud pop. Dirt and tangled plants spewed everywhere. It was a jaw-dropping mess. And for some, the perfect Christmas had been shattered. Especially the altar guild. But for many more, Christmas was strangely perfected in the sharing of the bread and wine amid broken pots. The broken pots became an object lesson that our world is broken, but into this brokenness Jesus came. In the midst of the desperate efforts for a perfect Christmas, it was only in the brokenness that Christmas became perfect. All of us here know Jesus did not come into a perfect world. It was a broken one. In John's amazing prologue to his gospel, his biography of Jesus, he describes the world as a place of darkness. More specifically, John says that when Jesus arrived in the world that he had made, the world did not receive him or recognize him. That's the essence of being in the dark. And still, The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Among us in a world twisted, a world messy, with plenty of dirt to go around, and still He came. He came as an infant, so fragile, so breakable. The time would come when He would be broken on the cross. He was fractured from God, separated from His Father as He endured hell in our place. He took the punishment for our sins upon Himself and died for us, but the Father did not leave Him in the grave. God raised Him from the dead and placed Him on a throne at His right hand to rule His kingdom. Because Jesus was broken on the cross for our sins and healed again in the blessed reunion with His Father, He can heal our brokenness by forgiving our sins and uniting us to Himself. That is why He was born. You may really want that perfect Christmas, but no Christmas can be perfect until our brokenness is healed in Jesus. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Fast forward some verses. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." Allow yourself to be stunned by those references to Jesus. Here's John, who knew Jesus well, spending a good 3 years getting to know Jesus as a person. And John is able to say and is inspired to say that his best friend, Jesus, is also the creative Word of God who ordered reality as we know it. His best friend, Jesus, was God in the flesh. It's an extraordinary claim, validated by Jesus' resurrection from the dead, of which John was an eyewitness. And so, near the end of his biography of Jesus, John writes this, and it's pointed directly at you and me on this Christmas morning. "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Believe the words about the Word, John says, and the gift of divine life is yours. And by that Word, the very same Word, today, bread and wine is declared to be His body and blood. Come to this meal of the Word made flesh. He gives us His broken body so that our brokenness can be healed. Come to this holy meal that takes away our scattered messes with the touch of His great love. He does not reject us or forsake us in our brokenness. He doesn't move away from us. He joins us. He heals us. He sits down in the dirt and the shattered pieces and gives us Himself. Are you having a perfect Christmas? Probably not. Something in your life may have collapsed. Someone may have disappointed you. Someone may be missing from your Christmas celebration. whatever it is, Jesus knows, and it does not prevent him from joining you at this table on this morning to create something new in you by his powerful word. You see, the creative word still creates. The healing word still heals. That saving word rebuilds what is broken. Receive him. Believe him. Life in his name is given to you. Would you pray with me, please? Sacred infant, all divine, what a tender love was thine, thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this. Teach us, holy child, by thy face so meek and mild. Teach us to resemble thee in thy sweet humility. In Jesus' name, amen.